Dinner. The reading today is from John 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, then their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus promised many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Good to be with you all. Begin in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gospel reading this morning begins in a locked room. It's a pretty powerful image, isn't it? You can almost hear the bolt sliding into place. The door closing firmly against the world outside. In movies, a locked room signals suspense, a threat, or maybe a secret waiting to be uncovered. But locked rooms aren't just for the screen, are they? We know them in real life as well. Sometimes we lock doors for safety when we go to sleep, when we leave the house. But locked doors also mean separation. They mean retreat. They mean isolation. Sometimes they mean fear. And John tells us that on the evening of that first day of the week, the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the religious leaders. And their fear was real. There's a fear for their lives. And their teacher had just been crucified. And they feared reprisal. They had followed him and loved him. But also abandoned him. And so they knew shame. Perhaps worst of all, they feared they'd been wrong in placing their hope in Jesus. And that hope had seemingly died on a cross outside of Jerusalem. Even today, many people still live in locked rooms of fear. And think of those living in Gaza. Families caught in fear and devastation. Think of immigrant families awaiting due process, uncertain if they'll get it or if they'll be separated. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, 51 Christians were killed in Nigeria. More than 100 armed men invaded the villages of Zika and Kimakpa. They shot and set fire to homes. I can imagine survivors right now hiding in locked rooms of fear. Can you? We also know our own fears that cause us to hide and retreat. fear of being hurt by the injustice and the brokenness of the world. Fear that if we're truly known, we'll be exposed, shamed. Fear of being associated with Jesus in our workplace or school. The fear of what the future holds in times of change and disruption. Whatever the fear, there's a temptation to retreat into a locked room, to back away into the shadows and to isolate ourselves. And on that evening, the first day of the week, the disciples sat in fear, huddled behind locked doors. Perhaps you know what that feels like too. The second scene in this gospel also takes place in a locked room. And this time it's a locked room of doubt. Thomas won't believe what the others tell him when the others tell him that they've seen the risen Christ. Perhaps it's his rational mind. Dead people don't raise from graves. Don't involve me in this fantastical nonsense. It's a reasonable doubt. Perhaps it's the trauma of what he saw. Notice how specific Thomas is in describing Jesus' wounds. There's trauma here. One thing, I love that this story shows that Thomas was gathered with the believers even before he believed. Maybe that describes you today. You might be with us, but not sure if you believe the Christian faith. Not sure that Jesus did die and rise again. And this account assures you that you're welcome here. You belong in this gathering. And your doubts are okay. Your questions are okay. And if that's you, please keep on meeting with us. Keep listening. And pray for Jesus to make himself known to you. But I wonder, what's your locked room of doubt? Perhaps it's doubt that the grave really was empty, that Jesus truly rose and conquered death. Perhaps it's doubt that God can and does forgive you, or can heal brokenness in lives, your life. Perhaps it's a doubt that's shaped by suffering. How could a good God let a certain event happen to you or someone you love? Fear and doubt. The disciples were huddled behind locked doors of both. And it's into those rooms that the risen Jesus came. And he came not with condemnation and not with judgment, but with peace. Peace be with you, he said. Three times. And this is the great compliment to "it is finished" from the cross, isn't it? And as John's gospel begins with a clear echo of Genesis, in the beginning was the Word. And now John's gospel ends the same way in Genesis. Like in Genesis, God breathes God's Spirit into the first humans. But they rejected God's word, and they hid in shame, and the mission to expand God's kingdom faltered. But now, on the first day of this new creation, in the evening, once again, the humans are hiding in fear, in shame. And the risen Jesus steps in, and he declares peace. And he breathes out his Holy Spirit upon them. And he sends them out, not in judgment, but in grace. Not to be cast out like the garden, but to proclaim the forgiveness of sins. And the resurrection of Jesus here is the key. If Jesus is still dead, then fear wins. Violence wins. Shame wins. And death wins. And we're right to hide, to despair, and to give up hope. But if Jesus is risen, if Jesus has defeated sin and death and now declares, peace be with you, if Jesus has given us the Spirit, the same power that raised him from the grave, then just like it changed everything for those first disciples, it must surely change everything for us. Friends, 2,000 years on, the same evil powers that put Jesus to death still haunt the world. But we're Easter people, and we're living in the new age of resurrection. And the words of Jesus that first Easter still reverberate for us, for you, today. Peace be with you. And you might say, well, Chris, but look, unjust systems still exist. And Jesus says, peace be with you. And you might say there are wars and rumors of war. And Jesus says, peace be with you. And we might say, well, the world economy is being upended. And Jesus says, peace be with you. We might say, but I've just received a really troubling health diagnosis. And Jesus says, peace be with you. See, I don't know what the year ahead holds. And there is uncertainty in our people. Peace be with you. And friends, this is the good news. Jesus doesn't wait for us to break down the door and come to him. Jesus comes to us. And he steps into our locked rooms of fear, of doubt, of guilt, and of shame. And he's with us. And he speaks peace. Now, this doesn't mean that we pretend that everything's perfect. Jesus' resurrection doesn't remove us from the pain of the world. But it does defy it. And through his death and resurrection, Jesus has freed us from the ultimate locked room, death. And the stone has been rolled away, and death has been swallowed up in victory. And we're no longer a people hiding behind closed doors. We're a people sent out in peace and in power to witness and to proclaim good news. So I wonder, what response is Jesus inviting from you today? What are you hiding in fear? Picture Jesus meeting you there in that fear. Jesus coming to you in that fear and looking at you with love and saying, peace be with you. I wonder where you're doubting this morning. How that might close in around you. I invite you to picture Jesus coming and meeting you in that place, looking and seeing you, saying, I'm here. Look at my hands, look at my side. I've overcome sin and death. The grave's defeated. The powers that would separate us from God, they're defeated. peace be with you. Wonder where you need Jesus to breathe peace into your heart. Are you holding anxiety? Where is that feeling like a locked room, a locked door? Invite the Holy Spirit of Jesus to fill you again. That resurrected power and love of God, that peace that passes all understanding, to be present to you and in you and through you. I wonder where we're locked up in guilt this morning. Picture Jesus looking at you in love, lifting your eyes to his. There's no shame in this relationship. Saying your sins are forgiven. I'm with you. I love you. Peace be with you. Lastly, I wonder who Jesus is sending you out with this good news and this power and with this peace, this news of forgiveness. Who is Jesus sending you out to bear witness to this great news? Christ has risen. He's risen indeed. We're freed. So friends, I wonder in light of this good news, this morning's the day to unlock the door, to walk through it as a resurrection people for the sake of the world.